Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Before their judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Well, here we are. This is Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safia Muhammad, and I am grateful that we all here to see and hear another year. This is our first show of 2020, a new decade. It's a lot going on all over the world, and as parents, especially mothers, we need to pay attention. I still teach, and I have students ranging from 8 to 17, and I dare say our children are in need of you, parents. Mothers, we are not paying attention. We have been distracted. We are going after what we think is going to help our children, when in fact what we're going after is not helping our children. Many of us struggled as young people, and we didn't have the things that we wanted, that we saw, that we long for, and we made a conscious decision to give our children everything they asked for. And I dare say that's been a mistake. I am looking and hearing from these students, from these children, they have a sense of entitlement, they are ungrateful, and they are arrogant. They think that because they're surrounded by a lot of information, they can Google things, that they have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and they have none of those. Parents, sisters especially, mothers, I need you to take hold of your children. One of our biggest enemies right now is the cell phone. We have put ourselves in jail by means of this cell phone. We can't put them down. Our children are talking to you, and you are not paying attention to them because you're busy texting, selfieing, whatever you're doing. And the children are adversely reacting to this. Suicide among young black children is at an all-time high. And to me, that's extremely puzzling, because in all of the time that we suffered through slavery and Jim Crow and all of the awful things that happened to us, we were not killing ourselves. So we have to stop and examine what is happening in our homes that's allowing children as young as 8 to think that it's okay to take their life. This is a crisis. This is a crisis. And we as women, as mothers, have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. Talk to your children. Don't talk at them. Talk to them and then listen to what they're saying back to you. Look at their behavior. You need to be able to spot instantly, oh, there's a change in this child. What happened? Did something happen? Let me talk to this child. And don't just accept, well, I don't know. I don't feel like talking. No, you are the parent. You have to find a way to get to your children to talk to you. One of the things that we did as our children grew up, we ate dinner together every night. We sat around the table. We ate at the same time. We didn't have a lot of anything because it was a whole bunch of us. But they had nutritious meals and inexpensive nutritious meals, I must say. And they got full, and they talked to each other. And I listened to the conversation and participated in the conversation so that anything that was amiss, I could help guide it back to the right path. That is our job. That's what we must do. And we need to do it as a sense of historical rebellion, because I was reading and I found out that it was against the law for us to parent our children the whole time that our children were in slavery, because they didn't belong to us. We have to take back ownership of our children. Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote a book, Between the World and Me, and one of the things that stuck with me from what he said in that book was that we have to let white people know they don't own us any longer. So our leader and teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, shared with us that his teacher told him that we needed to accept our own and be ourselves. So if we accept ownership of ourselves and everything about us and our families, then that gives us responsibility to create, number one, a safe environment in the home, to protect them as they go about in the streets. That all becomes our responsibility, because we have to accept our own. We have to own what is around us. And we have to look at what it is that we're striving for. Some of us work, but what are we working for? We're working for big cars, we're working for coats, we're working for shoes, we're working for handbags, we're working for jewelry. But how many of us are really working for the future of our children? How many of us are willing to sacrifice our own quote-unquote pleasures so that our children will have a better future? You know, some of us have access to private schools that are run by qualified black people. But guess what? We don't want to support them because it's easier for us, we think, to send them to public school because it's free. It's not free. You're paying taxes, number one, for it. But what is happening, is it worth what they're doing to your children's minds and their spirits and their ambitions? We need to think about these things. And I'm asking you to stop in this new, before this month is out, before this month of January is out, sit down, take stock of what is going on in your lives as it pertains to your children. Our children are suffering. You know, you give them things and they beg for them and then they get them and then they lose them, they break them. A week from now, they don't play with them if it's a toy. I mean, come on, people, what are we giving our children? How often do you hug your children? How often do you listen? I mean, really listen, not half-heartedly listen, not listen to them while you're still on the phone with somebody else or while you're texting somebody. How often do you really sit down and talk to your children and let them talk to you? How open are you to your children coming and talking to you? I saw a mother complaining that her children invade her space and that she doesn't want them in her bedroom. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Where are they supposed to go? Who are they supposed to talk to? You are the one. You know, I need my privacy for what? And when your child comes knocking on your door, I've had my children come to me one night, two of my older children. This is long ago because they're all grown now. But they were in their late teens, and they knocked on my door about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, oh, what's up? Why are you? And, Mommy, you awake? Well, I am now. Okay, come on in. And they sat and they talked to me till 4 in the morning just about whatever was on their mind. But it was a blessing that I was there for them to share whatever it was that they were thinking about. They weren't necessarily complaining, weren't necessarily disturbed. They just wanted to talk. So they talked till about 4 in the morning. But my door was open and they knew that. They knew that they could always come and talk to me. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't, but most times they talked. We had a community talk every night around the table because everybody got a chance to say something. I never forget my son. One of my sons was like 3 years old, and he always wanted to get in the conversation. And he would get in the conversation, and he would try to tell a joke or try to tell a story, and it would go on and on and on. And sometimes his little joke had no punchline. And we're all sitting there waiting, okay, when is this punchline coming to this joke he's telling? But he knew that he had the right and access to say what was on his mind at 3, and we all listened politely. We don't do that anymore. We don't have discussions anymore. People cut each other off. Nobody listens to anybody else, and it's all about I have to say what I have to say, and I'm going to say what I say, and I don't care what anybody else is saying, because then you turn around and say the exact same thing that everybody else just said, and they're looking at you like, weren't you listening to what we were saying? No, because you were busy trying to get your point in. So we have lost the art of communication. We're not communicating anymore. You know, I always tell the students, language means that one person talks, the other person has to listen. That's communication. Otherwise, we're just talking, and that's what's happening. And we need, as parents, you need to take time to cut off everything. Cut it off. The television, the phone, put it all away and sit down and really assess your day at some point during the day. You can do it in the morning, get up a half hour earlier. You know, my mother-in-law told me that when I was a very young wife. She said, make sure you get up about half hour early before everybody else and get yourself some peace. Get yourself oriented for your day. Then start waking everybody else up. And it worked for me the whole time that I was married. I'm widowed now, but for 36 years, it worked for me. I got up, a little bit earlier than everybody else, got me together. Then I could focus and get everybody else together. If you pray, pray. If you meditate, meditate. But do something to get yourself oriented toward the day, for the day, and away from all of the madness that is going on out here on social media and in the news. I mean, it's just crazy. So we need to take some time to look at ourselves, to give ourselves some time, and to think about what we're going to do. Your children, organization, you have to be organized. You have to put systems in place. Your children have to know, look, when you come in, this is what you do with your coat, your shoes, your hat, your gloves, et cetera. Your book bags ought to go over here as soon as you finish your homework. You need to check homework, parents. Stop sending children back to school with no homework check. You don't know what they were supposed to do, but then you want a report card because you want to be able to brag about how well your children did. No, that's not what report cards are for. Report cards are to show you what help your children need and where they're at. A lot of times we just want to rush our children off and push them off into high school or college and all that, but they're not ready. We got to make sure they're prepared. We have to prepare our children, and we're not doing it. We're not preparing them. We're just sending them off, and they're failing. And then the depression comes in. Then the depression comes in because we're pushing children to do sometimes things that they don't want to do. We want them to live out our missed opportunities because I wanted to be a ballerina, so I'm going to send my daughter and make forth her to take ballet. She doesn't want to take ballet. So why are you pushing her that way? Or you want him to be the track star that you couldn't be, or the boxer. We got to really look at our children and see what is it that this child really needs. What is it that this child really is? What gifts did God give this child? And they're probably not the same gifts that you have. So we need to stop trying to live our failed dreams, our failed expectations for ourselves through our children. That's not what your children are here for. They're here because God gave them something to do. If you look at these little babies that are being born, they're coming out with their eyes open. They're looking around. They're holding their heads up. And they're ready to change some things about this world because that's what God intends for them. But we're not watching. We're not paying attention. And they're looking like, okay, I'm ready. What y'all need me to do? That's their whole demeanor. As babies that are 3 months old, 4 months old, a year old, they're like, okay, I'm taking charge. Okay? So these type of young people, they're special, and we have to make sure that we as parents tap into what gifts they have and not necessarily put our wants and desires on them. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you raise your child to be disobedient, disrespectful. There's nothing worse than a disrespectful, disobedient child who nobody can handle. We don't want a generation of bratty children who talk back to their parents, who talk back to adults, who just think they're supposed to do anything they want to do. No, discipline. All children must be disciplined. If they're not, then they're just wreaking havoc in the community. We don't want that. So I'm saying to you, mothers especially, please parent your children. Pay attention to them. And you say, well, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. Yeah, okay. But think back and think about your ancestors, how exhausted they were. How exhausted, how tired, how they had nothing, but they had love for their children when they could keep their children. Think about all the children that parents could not keep, that got snatched away from them, and they never knew where they went to, where they ended up. They just know they were sold away. You know, all of that's still in our DNA. It's working in our psyche. So that now that we have an opportunity to take care of our children, let's do it. If for no other reason than that they couldn't, we need to do it. We need to take care of our children. Now, let's get to the real issue that's going on right now. There are too many children being snatched. There are too many children being snatched. I don't know how you lose track of a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old. We're living in a time of vicious, evil people who are snatching your children, who are snatching your boys and your girls and adults because they are sex trafficking them and they are stealing people's organs. You have to be on the alert. We were taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as women, be in the house when it gets dark. You know, and some of us are so grown now, you know, oh, no, I can do what I want. No, 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 please don't even think that way. You need a companion with you when you're walking the streets if it's dark, be it your husband, your uncle, your brother, somebody. Don't be out there by yourself. They're snatching some people two at a time. So we need to put in place measures that will keep us safe in these streets. And it doesn't matter what city you're in, whether you're in the country, the city, or whatever, we have got to be careful. We have got to be more vigilant about our own whereabouts. Okay? All of this that we used to do, you know, you used to clubbing and doing all of that, hey, is it worth it? Is it worth you losing your life that you got to go out to this club with a bunch of sisters in the middle of the night and you end up missing people? This is real serious, people. Be more mindful of wherever you are. You know, my husband used to always tell my children, walk with a purpose. When you're out in the street, walk like you're going somewhere at all times, because you're less likely to have anybody bother you if they see you moving at a certain pace and with a certain focus. And you need to be on the alert. Look around you. Don't be on your phone. Don't be on your phone in the street, because you're looking down at the phone texting or you're talking to somebody and you're not paying attention to what's going on. And please take these daggone earbuds out your ears while you're walking in the street. You can't hear anything. You listening to music, you listening to whatever is going on, and you don't hear there's a car coming. You don't hear that there's a commotion to your left or your right or behind you. You're just walking along, tripping over stuff because you're not paying attention because you're busy texting. About to walk out in the street. Come on, people, we got to be on the alert because our very lives depends on it. Please, hold on to your children. Hold on to your children when they're in the street. I used to have 5 little children at one point. They were all like 9, 10, and down. I had the older 2 on the outside holding the hands of the other 2, and I had the baby in my arms. The 2 that were on the inside had their hands in my pockets. My coat pocket. They were attached to me on both sides because I was not going to lose anybody going across the streets or walking down the streets. Don't ever let your children walk behind you. Have them in front of you at all times and within arm's length so you can grab them. They're not free. Our children are not free to just be running down the streets nowadays. It's too dangerous. We got too many predators out here, and they're coming in all colors, sizes, and whatnot. You know, don't let nobody befriend your child. Oh, hey, baby, can I give you? No, don't give my child nothing. Don't touch my child. We got to get like that. No, I don't know you. Don't touch my child. No, don't talk to my child. Find out who is talking to your children at school. And, you know, if they're at school or wherever, if they're on their way home. Know who your children talk to. Keep them off of the internet. Because they're being followed. You got, and okay, this cell phone business. You're giving these children cell phones at 7 and 8 and 9 years old. For what? You say, well, I need my child to stay in touch with me. Hey, we stayed in touch with our parents. We didn't have but one phone in the daggone house. But we knew how to get back and forth from school to home. And they didn't have to text us to find out where we were. We went to school. We came home. If you gave the child the phone to stay in touch with you when that child reaches the house, take the phone, give it back to them in the morning. Why is your child sleeping? Oh, he was on his phone all night. What, excuse me? Or he was on his tablet all night. Or he was on the computer. Who's the parent? Who is the parent? Our children are up all night on watching God knows what, because you're not checking. You know, and another thing, if you're watching certain things in your room, don't have the volume so loud that your child can hear it in their room. And they're telling teachers, oh, yeah, my mommy was watching such and such. What? How do you know about that show? Because my mother was watching and I heard it from her room. What? People, come on, we have to be more vigilant about parenting. We have to be more vigilant about parenting. And if you don't know, go ask somebody. Don't be ashamed to say, I don't know how to do this. Heck, when I first became a mother, I didn't know anything because we didn't have any babies in our family. There were no children that were born in that family. So there were no little cousins and little babies to take care of. I didn't know anything about taking care of a child. I had to ask people that did know. I wasn't ashamed. Like, hey, Sister Mary, can you tell me? Sister Celestine, can you tell? I didn't know. What am I supposed to do about this? What am I supposed to do about that? Don't be afraid to reach out to those who know. And let's not be so arrogant that we can't take advice. We don't know. We don't. It's okay to say, I don't know how to do this. Can you show me? You see what's happening? We don't have no big mamas around anymore. Big mama gone. There was always big mama that was taking care of everybody else's children and keeping you and the children straight. But we don't have that anymore because big mama's not that old anymore. Big mama's in her 30s. Okay? So we've got a major crisis in our communities because it doesn't matter how much money you have, what kind of status you have, it's all the same because we're not focusing on our children. This is Samia Safia Muhammad. This is Mother's Milk that you're listening to, and I'm praying that what I'm saying is what is needed for somebody tonight to hear so that we can start keeping our children safe. There's a lot going on. There's an election coming up and all of this. You know, we need to study history. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, history best rewards our research. Okay? We need to pay attention because a lot of what's going on now has happened before. You got people ready to just, you know, send us into war and all kind of stuff. We got to pay attention. We got to pay attention. We have to focus. We can't be so busy just seeking relief and pleasure that we're not paying attention to what's going on around us. Our diets are also killing us. Our children, too many of them, are eating everything out of bags, meaning you pull up to fast food in the morning, you send them fast food for lunch, they eat fast food for dinner. No cooking is going on. Nobody's monitoring what is going in their stomachs, just like we're not monitoring what's going on in their minds. Your children's health depends on you being a scientist in that kitchen and making sure that your children have the best possible meals. You don't have to spend a lot of money for food, but you need to make sure that whatever you're giving your children is good, it's healthy. You might have to go drive a little bit further or get on a bus and go somewhere else because we have food deserts in our communities. You know, we got to give our children fresh vegetables. We have to make sure that they have their iron, they're getting enough iron, enough calcium, and we need to make sure they get some sunshine. If the sun is out, they need to be outside to soak up some natural vitamin D. We have gotten to the point we don't even want to go outside anymore. You know, when we were young, oh, you went outside. You came home, you changed your school clothes, you put on your play clothes, you got your homework done, and you went outside till the streetlights came on. And guess what? Those streetlights came on, everybody was making a beeline home. Women started calling out the window, hey, so-and-so, get up here. And if your mother wasn't doing it, then Miss whoever your neighbor was, hey, get upstairs. Doesn't so-and-so know you? Where are you? Get up. You know, you ain't supposed to be out here. But see, we don't know our neighbors anymore. We don't even talk to each other. We don't know who lives next door to us. We don't know who lives above us. We don't know who lives below us. We have no sense of community anymore. Because the thing is, I don't want nobody in my business. What business you got that you don't want nobody in?
come on, people. We got to go put the neighbor back in neighborhood. We got to change the hood back into a neighborhood where we know each other, where we can help each other. Because guess what? We all we got. If you didn't know it before, you know it now. These folk that don't look like us, they're not our neighbors. And they don't care nothing about us. So we got to start caring again about each other. We celebrate Martin Luther King Day today. You know, people are like, oh, he died. No, he did not die. He was murdered. He was murdered. And not by the man they said pulled the trigger. Okay? We need to study that history. We need to study his last couple of speeches before he passed away. And then you'll know why they killed him. Martin Luther King didn't just have a dream. See, you got to go to the beginning of speech. Because in the beginning of the speech, he said, we came to collect on a check that we were promised, and it came back insufficient funds. That's how he started the speech. The only part they ever play is he had a dream. No, he was condemning America for not fulfilling its promises to the freed slaves. Go back, get the speech. Read the whole thing. Read the whole thing. Don't just let these people twist up our minds and make us think that, oh, now that they want to go to war, we got to be these major patriots. Come on, people. Wake up. Wake up. Don't fall for the tricks. Okay? Don't fall for the craziness that's going on out here. We need to be wide awake. You know, a lot of people run around saying, I'm woke. Are you really? Your actions need to prove that you are indeed awake, okay? We need to stay awake. We can't just be woke up and then not pay any attention to what's going on. Oh, I'm woke. Are you really? Are you really? Okay, I need you to pay attention. I need you to pay attention to what's going on, especially with our children. Go over your children's homework. Look at what they're being taught in history class. History class is his story for real. For real, it's his story. And we got to go back and pay attention. If you're going to be on the internet, then look for people who are conscious enough that are sharing our history. There's a lady named Ms. Gist, and she constantly writes stuff on Facebook, just all kind of historical things that she has found that are not being shared. And we need to pay attention. Teach your children. If you're going to sit down, at least have a night where you'll sit down and go through some history. You know, look at their history books and then go find some alternate facts, which are actual facts, as opposed to the alternate facts that these people are perpetrating nowadays. You know, make sure we go and we study with our children. Take them to the library. I know people do not do that anymore. Take them to the library. So they know, hey, this is what a library is for. You know, it's one thing to read something on a tablet, but it's a whole different experience to be able to have a book in your hand and read it. Turn the pages. Get involved physically with the book. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Encourage your children to study. Encourage, find out what they want to do. And don't be surprised, you know, if they change 20,000 times before they finally decide what they want to do. Some of them will even go all the way to college and still they won't know what they want to do yet. And they'll sit back at some point and figure out, well, this is what I really wanted to do. I thought I wanted to do this, but I want to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to help our children. Please, please, we need to help our children. We're the only ones that can do it because nobody else is going to do it, you know. Our children are facing such hatred, just blatant, outright racist comments and thoughts and just everything. You know, you're looking at, you think that you're looking at something that's okay, and then you turn around like, wait a minute, this is not right. How do our children? So, you know, again, talk to your children. Please, please take time for them because too many of them
are feeling a sense of hopelessness, total hopelessness. And we are the only ones that can help them get through that. You're their first line of enlightenment and comfort. Don't be afraid to hug your children, your boys and your girls. Give them hugs. You know, whenever you see them, hug each other. You know, I was laughing because whenever my children would get into a little rumble, you know, they're fussing and carrying on about whatever, you know, I would intervene and like, what's going on here? Why? What's happening? You know, and then I would make them tell me how this got started, and then we would finish it. Okay, and the way it would be finished is, of course, the person's going to tell you what the other person did. Oh, no. I don't want to hear what the other person did. What part did you play in this? What did you do? Well, I did this. Well, what could you have done to keep that from happening like that? I could have done this. Okay, what about you? What did you do? Well, what part could you have done to stop that from happening? Oh, well, I could have, right, did you really need to say that? No. Okay, so at the end, they had to stand there and hug each other, and I didn't care how angry they were with each other. You hug your brother, you hug your sister, you know. And it helped because whatever it was never got to the point where I'm never speaking to you again in my life, okay? So I was looking at this program. It's called Resurrection Etero, and I was laughing because there were two incidences recently where the characters made two people that were fussing get up and hug each other. I'm like, okay, good. I thought that was very, very funny. But anyway, always have your children to resolve whatever the issue is. Don't, you know, and if you as an adult have that situation where you not speaking to somebody in your family because of whatever happened 15,000 years ago, okay, because it might as well be that long if you're not talking to each other. Go talk to your relatives, your mom, your dad, whoever it is. Make peace with them, because guess what? All we got is each other. All we got is each other. Again, you're listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safia Muhammad, and in the near future, inshallah, we will have some dialogue. If you have questions, I'm going to try and make it so you can send me your questions, and we'll see if we can get them answered and see if we can talk to each other. Because if we don't keep this line of communication open, we will have greater and greater problems as the enemies around us continue to close in. Those of you who are not living with whomever your children's fathers are, or whoever the children's mothers are, make peace with each other for the children's sake, and stop trying to one-up one another. You know, I see situations where, you know, the family has split, and then one of the people is trying to get the other one in trouble with the law. I mean, just causing all kind of havoc for each other. But, you know, that's not necessary. It's not. And this man, that these white people that you are letting into your homes through the courts and whatnot, they don't care about either one of you. So don't do things and be malicious toward each other because y'all got a misunderstanding or because y'all didn't talk to each other and be honest enough with each other about the situation that y'all were involved in the first place. Your children are more important than your ego, his ego, anybody's egos and things like that. Always think of the children. Always be about what's best for them. They don't need to see y'all fussing and fighting. They don't need to see y'all arguing and cussing at each other. They definitely don't need you, one of you talking about the other one while a child's in your presence and not with the other parent. Come on, people, stop all that foolishness. Because it doesn't help us as a community. It doesn't help us as a people. It just tears us down. and it gives your children, again, a sense of hopelessness. And whatever we do not want that. We do not want that. So we need to start really looking at the man in the mirror. You know, Michael was very right about that. We got to start looking at the man in the mirror. We got to start looking at the woman in the mirror. What am I doing? What have I done? What should I be doing to help me to make my home a better place for my children? Your children need you more than ever because it's just too much going on out here. It's too, you know, when we were growing up, it wasn't as confusing. It wasn't as much confusion out here. We knew right from wrong, and it was a consensus of what was right and what was wrong. Now you have evil people among us who have totally upset the balance of everything in life. They've got everybody totally confused. They've got everybody totally on edge all the time. You know, we're not too far away from what it was like in, I don't know how many of you saw the movie 12 Years a Slave. What I took away from that movie was the fact that they kept us totally on edge. When you looked every time you turned around, anytime these white people came in our presence, the slaves were jumping because they never knew what these fools were going to do. Got them up 3 o'clock in the morning dancing because they want to be entertained. And they expect them to be in those fields the moment the crack of dawn. You know, just whenever they're present, you didn't know whether they want to take you, snatch your child, you know. And we're like that right now. And it's not their physical presence. It's their presence through the media. Because you don't know. It's always breaking news. Blah, 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 blah. It's a constant. You don't know what's going to happen next. You know, I turn on the news sometimes in the morning just to see whether this president we got done blew up something or not. You know, you never know. So everybody's like, nobody's at ease. Nobody's at peace. We're in turmoil all the time. So your peace has to be generated from your household and not from the outside in. So do everything you can to have moments where the family is at peace, where you're together just enjoying yourselves with each other. You know, just a conversation or play a board. Board games are very good to get to see how people act, you know, and don't let anybody be a sore loser. You know, one of the things that we always taught the children at school is, hey, so what, you didn't win today. You're supposed to analyze why you didn't win today, and you can win tomorrow. Nobody's allowed to pout and fuss about why. Don't accuse anybody of cheating. You just didn't do your best. That's the kind of atmosphere you want to have in your home. Play games so that, okay, you didn't win, you win the next time. Nobody should be a sore loser. Nobody should be fussing about the fact that I didn't win the game. So what? You didn't win this time. Practice and learn learn what you didn't do right this time. Observe. Sit back and watch. You know, but play games with each other. Talk to each other. Make sure you hear what's going on with your children. It's of the utmost importance. Utmost importance that you know what is going on, who they're with. You know, my house was the hangout house. Everybody would come to our home, all the children. And I always had my ears open to what was going on. You know, I never forget my daughter had some friends over, and one of the girls said something, and she said, I don't say that. She said, my mother will hear you. She said, your mother's downstairs. Your mother can't hear what I just said. She said, watch. She said, very low, Mommy. And I was downstairs. I said, yes, because that was my job, to listen, to be on the alert of what's going on in the house. You should know. Don't let people be in your house and you're not there. You know, don't let a whole bunch of children just be in your house. You're not there. You need to be there, you know, and be observant and hear, listen, watch, you know. You know, no, there's no such thing. Well, this is my room and you can't go in it. Excuse me? No, you live in my house, child. So you want that kind of privacy, you go and you rent your own house. But as long as you're in my house, yes, I have the right to see what's going on in your room. And, yes, no door is closed when I say no door is closed. That's it. You know, we have to take that kind of posture and take back parenting. Take back your right as a parent, y'all. Some of us act like we're scared of these children. No, they're yours. You're not theirs. When they get grown enough, that's something different. But trust me, by that time, they won't want to leave. They'll be back. That's another thing. You know, I heard a conversation recently about somebody talking about they're going to put their child out because their child's 17 or 18. Why would you do that? You know, that comes out of our slavery and Jim Crow experience where we had to get somebody else out the house because we couldn't afford them, okay? But you should not be trying to push your children away from you until they are ready. There are other cultures where people keep their children until they make sure they are established. Then they send them out on their own. We send ours out. They don't have anything but problems, and we push them away from us. Oh, this child turns on, he better be out of my house by the time he's such and such an age. Why? Why would you send your child out there unprepared? Because all they're going to do is have to come back. And if they have to come back, they should understand that if they have to come back home, they can come back home. Because that's what home is, that place where you can always come back to and readjust your life and get yourself back together and then go back out again. Your home should be just that. Children should always feel welcome to come home. We have gotten a mentality about us where, no, child got to go. Why? Why are we sending them out there? They're not prepared, especially in some of these cities that we're living in now. When I got married, our apartment, I think, was $100, maybe $120 a month. You can't find any apartments like that now in New York City. So how's a child going out on its own at 17, 18, 19 years old? You haven't given them an endowment. They have no big bank account anywhere. You expect them to go and rent a $1,000, $2,000 apartment, and they're not making that kind of money? What are we doing to our children? And then we want to know why they're stressed out all the time. No, we got to make provisions. We got to show them this is the way you put aside X amount of dollars so that when you do X, Y, and Z, you'll have a cushion between this and this. You're not living paycheck to paycheck. We got to change our mindsets. We got to help our children. We got to help them. We can't see them as the enemy, as something to be gotten rid of. No, those are your children. And newsflash, they'll always be your children. Once you have them, they're yours. And even when you die, if you're blessed to get a tombstone, it's going to say the mother of or the father of, okay? Especially the mother of. You're always their mother. You know, I had a sister long ago. She had seven children at the time, and she called me one day. She said, you know what I just figured out? These children are always going to be my children. I'm like, yep, they will. You know, it was a revelation to her one day. Wow, they're always going to be mine. Yes, they're always yours. And love them. Stop seeing them as a burden. Stop seeing your children as a burden. Those are your gifts from God. He permitted you to bring them on this planet to do something of good. And if they turn out other than that, then, well, we got to look at ourselves. What did we do to help foster them to go that way instead of this way? And if some of them are going to make mistakes, and that's all they are, they're mistakes. They didn't mean to do some of the crazy stuff they do and get involved in. So we got to talk to them and figure out, okay, well, what made you do that? I just made a really bad decision. Dad, gone. Okay, so what did you learn from this? Because, see, every mistake we make is a lesson. And it says in our Quran that Allah moves you from one level of perfection to the next. So every time you think you got everything going on and your life is good, guess what? Bam, something happens. Something happens. And now you've got to reassess. You got to look at what happened. And then you've got to find ways to move to that next level of perfection. And the thing that you have to realize as soon as something happens, this is a lesson. What am I supposed to learn from this one? Okay, and sometimes we keep doing the same thing, so we have to keep repeating the same exact lesson over and over again because we didn't learn the first time. So as adults, that happens to us, and yes, as young adults, it happens to your children. They have lessons that they have to learn, and you need to be there to help them facilitate and get over those lessons. So I pray that I've said something to you this evening that has gotten you to think, will encourage us to do better and to expect better from ourselves and our children. And above all, to love your children, love each other. Love your children, love each other. And I don't care how tired you are. You know, love your children. Don't be afraid to call them and say, hey, I love you, I miss you. How you doing? I'm good. Okay. You know, I tell my oldest sons, call me, let me know. Just text me, hey, I'm okay, Mom. Because that's this world we're living in. We never know. But don't be afraid to show the affection that you showed them when they were little. You know, when they're little and cute, you know, you're hugging on them all the time. Then when they get older, you don't even want to hug them. Hug each other. Hug your children, man. When you see them, hug each other. Show them you love them, you know. You know, they want to come sit next to you and cuddle. That's fine. You know, my daughters, they'll come sit. I'm like, why are you on my lap? Get off of me. But, you know, they love you. And you need to show them that love because the world is not showing them that love on a regular basis. Don't be afraid to hug your children. Hug your children. Let them know you love them. Tell them you love them all the time, especially when they get on your last nerve. Say, I still love you. Just got on my last nerve, but I still love you, okay? But, yeah, don't do what you just did again, okay? You know? And discipline your children. Please do that. Don't make your children think that they can talk to grown-ups any old kind of way. Teach them manners. Teach them discipline, self-discipline. And all of that's done by repeatedly making them to do things that will show that they care about themselves, that they care about their environment. You know, keep your room clean. Make sure you wash the dishes. Show them all of those things. Teach them all those things. You know, because you don't want your children to be dependent on other people for everything. I taught my sons how to wash dishes, wash clothes, keep a house clean. We went room from room. Everybody had to do a room. They had to learn how to do a particular room, how it's supposed to look when it's clean. They know how to hem pants, put buttons on their clothes if they fall off, iron, wash, all of that. Because they need to be able to do that if they're the only one that is there to do it for them. You have to teach them. No, you know, don't raise children who think, well, I'll get a maid. Excuse me? What kind of mentality is that? I'll get a maid? No, even if you get a maid, you still got to take care of yourself. You still got to know how to wash your hair, comb your hair, you know, put lotion. Oh, and another thing, please comb your children's hair before you send them off to school. Put lotion on their faces. Make sure they brush their teeth. These are all the things that are happening with these poor children. They're walking out the door looking like the wreck of the Hesperus, as my uncle used to say. They're eating potato chips and cookies on the way to school. Hey, it doesn't take but a couple of minutes to take some oatmeal and microwave it to make sure your children have something warm in their stomachs before they leave the house. Don't depend on the schools to feed your children. It doesn't cost that much money to buy oatmeal and farina and scramble an egg. Make sure your children have breakfast. Make sure they're dressed properly. And I know hats and gloves, children will lose them. Okay, so teach them how to take off what they do when they take off their coat. Child takes off their coat, put the hat in the sleeve. Put your scarf around the neck of the coat. Then hang it up. Put the gloves, put one glove in each pocket. The pocket that's on the side that you're going to put the glove back on. That way, when they get ready to leave school, they're not running around, where's my hat, where's my coat? And buy a whole bunch of little dollar hats if you have to. But the thing is to keep your child's head warm. Make sure that when they walk out, they've got some kind of lotion or Vaseline or something on their face to keep the elements from biting up their skin. You know, don't send your children to school with their teeth not brushed, their hair not combed. Nothing, no lotion on their faces. Come on, parents. do some parenting, please. That's what this whole talk is about. Become parents again. That's your first job. That's the job that God gave you when you had that child. Be their parent. Be their parent and love them. Okay, you've been listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safiya Muhammad, and I pray that this helps us to get off to a good start in this new year. And by the end of this month, we should all have written some goals and looked at ourselves and made some changes so that we will make our year a better year. I'll tell you, like my husband used to say to the children, walk with a purpose. Keep on the alert. Keep your children close to you and tell them you love them and give them a hug every day. All right. You've been listening to Mother's Milk. Assalamu alaikum. Happy New Year. Blessed New Year, rather. And God willing, I'll be talking to you again next week.